ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife foreign correspondent.
Well, joining us tonight is Karishma Vyas, the ABC's Asia editor, for a look at what's gone on with the ASEAN summit. That's wrapped up. It also made way for the APEC summit as well, the annual summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in South Korea. Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim handed over the ASEAN baton or chair to Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos at the closing ceremony of the 47th ASEAN summit in Malaysia this week. And both these summits are considered, of course, to be very important as they promote the sort of economic integration and cooperation in the Asia-Pacific region that everyone is looking for. They also provide a forum, of course, for high-level diplomatic discussions between world leaders, as we saw with our own Prime Minister there. Let's cross to our foreign correspondent in Bangkok, Karishma Vyas, the ABC's Asia editor, with details on both summits. Karishma, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you so much.
Terrific to have you with us too. How's it all gone, do you think, particularly? Well, let's start with ASEAN.
Well, ASEAN is kind of an interesting grouping of leaders. It's small compared to APEC. It's an exclusive regional organization that is focused very much on Southeast Asian nations. It's got, 10 members with Leste being the newest member this year. And the focus, as you said, is very much on the economy. Mm. And so it's a forum for people to get together, for leaders, regional leaders to get together and focus on building economic partnerships that really promote. And also they say that it's also exists to promote regional peace and stability and promote social progress. But this is very much done through the lens of the economy. So the meetings and the see that ASEAN is famous for is focused on strengthening bilateral relations as well as promoting the region's place in the world.
Mm. Yes, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, of course, in attendance. This is before he went on to South Korea for the APEC summit. How do you think? I mean, Australia's historically, of course, had an up and down relationship. In more recent times, of course, it's been a much more enthusiastic engager with Asia, some might say, although perhaps the AUKUS partnership has strained that. How do you think he fared?
Well, the stakes were a lot lower for the Australian Prime Minister during this ASEAN summit because we had, President Trump visit, and he really was the focus of the meeting this year. And of course, the Australian Prime Minister met with President Trump earlier this month at the White House. Mm-hmm. Before then, there was a lot of pressure on Prime Minister Albanese to shore up his personal relationship with the President and with the US. He was getting a lot of flack for not securing this one-on-one meeting earlier, closer to the beginning of the year when President Trump started his second term. But he walked out of this meeting with President Trump really riding a high. He was able to secure this meeting. He was able to secure the US's support for AUKUS, the multi-billion-dollar submarine deal between Australia, the UK, and the US. And so, he kind of showed everybody what he was made of. And then when he walked into this ASEAN summit, he was, he was approaching it from a very secure summit. So his focus was not so much Australia's relationship with the US during ASEAN. It was really shoring up Australia's relationship with economic partners beyond China. As a bloc, Southeast Asia is projected to become the world's fourth largest economy by 2040, after the United States, China, and India. So the priorities for the Prime Minister were very clear. Stepping off the plane, he talked about economic opportunity that Southeast Asia presents for creating jobs and growth for Australia. So his focus, while all the other ASEAN leaders were focused on Trump and addressing their tariff concerns with the United was really focused on other issues because he'd already secured Australia's position with the United States.
Mm. Yes, Karishma Vyas is with us, ABC's Asia editor. Apologies for the slight gaps in our phone connection here, Karishma. Not your doing or our doing either. It seems to be a tech issue. That anyway, we'll continue to see whether we can improve that. I was interested in the words of Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim when he was speaking about the. And I know that Anthony Albanese cherished these words too when he spoke about the need for freedom in the region. Now, without mentioning any names, but he was clearly talking about China. ASEAN's had to tread carefully here, haven't they?
Well, they have. And, you know, ASEAN has traditionally, I mean, one of the sacred rules of ASEAN is that they don't interfere in the internal affairs of other nations. But China looms large over the region. You know, it is an incredibly important trading partner for many people within ASEAN, many countries within ASEAN. But at the same time, it poses a security threat as well, you know, with its incursions into the South China Sea. It poses a problem for ASEAN member state, the Philippines. It's uncharacteristic. It would be uncharacteristic for ASEAN to speak openly and transparently about its concerns about the problems potentially that China poses on the region. But it is an issue that kind of overshadows the concerns of many countries within the region. And, you know, the Prime Minister of Australia obviously spoke with representatives, senior officials from China about the concerns they have with, you know, kind of dodgy relationships between the two militaries in terms of, you know, the kind of conflicts we've seen in the air between China's Air Force and Australia's Air Force. Those issues did come up. The Prime Minister Albanese made clear that he raised his concerns in his meetings with Chinese officials about that. But again, this is going to be an ongoing issue for ASEAN, and they have to tread carefully because they do not want any security concerns to affect the economic relationship, the very important economic relationship that, you know, other countries within ASEAN have with China.
Yes, Karishma Vyas is with ABC's Asian editor. She's had a long experience of international reporting experience working and living in Thailand. Speaking of Thailand, Mr. Trump was, of course, at ASEAN inking or signing this Thai-Cambodia peace deal. This is one of the wars he says he's stopped. What's your insight on the merits or otherwise of this claim, Karishma?
This is a very interesting kind of, you know, event that occurred at ASEAN. So earlier this year, there was a deadly border conflict between Thailand and Cambodia where more than 30 people were killed and at least 300,000 people were displaced along, you know, the 800-kilometre border between the two countries. It was a serious escalation in a border dispute that's been going on for 120 years, and a tentative peace deal was reached after 5 days of heavy fighting. But as ASEAN approached, President Trump said he would only attend if he was presiding over a formal peace agreement between Thailand and Cambodia. And that, of course, put a lot of pressure on the two countries, plus ASEAN host Malaysia, to make this happen because they all wanted President Trump to attend. They had kind of important trade issues, tariff issues to nut out with the United States. And so they agreed to sign this peace agreement presided over by the president, who took full credit for it. Now, in terms of substance, the agreement doesn't address the underlying issue that is causing this border conflict, because it's essentially about the fact that Thailand and Cambodia are using two different mapping systems to figure out where their border lies. And until they can kind of agree on which mapping system they use, they're going to disagree about where their border is. So, you know, the agreement, while Trump says it's a feather in his cap, in terms of actually being substantive and long-lasting, you know, there's a question mark on that.
Yes, not that he's let that get in his way, as you say. Yes, just back on APEC, the US and China, of course, that was the principal point of interest for Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. It does seem as though, as I was saying earlier in the program, they have agreed to what officials have agreed to agree on, but it's hardly the end of hostilities between China and the US on the trade front, you would think, would you?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know it by how President Trump is talking about this meeting that he's had with Xi Jinping, China's leader. He was over the moon with the results. He, you know, gave it a rating of 12 out of 10 in terms of what they were able to hash out. Chief among them was tariffs. You know, he said the United States would lower its tariffs on China, bringing them down to 47% from the 57% they were before these two leaders met. In return, Beijing has agreed to allow exports of rare earth elements and start buying American soybeans. The two countries also discussed more advanced computer chips being exported to China, and that, you know, the president would visit Beijing in April, and that would be followed potentially by a visit by the Chinese leader to the United States. So on the surface of it, it all looks, you know, very promising, but, you know, they haven't really resolved the underlying issues are plaguing these two economies.
No, they haven't. Just before we go, there's a year-long funeral commemoration in Thailand for Thailand's Queen Sirikit, who passed away this week at the age of 93, and that's now formally begun. The King of Thailand, of course, has quite a special relationship with Australia, doesn't he, due to his personal history of studying and training here, as well as his late father's visit to Australia. He came here, I think, in the early 60s, which was the first ever visit by reigning foreign monarchs, both countries sharing close diplomatic ties.
Well, yes, as you mentioned, the current King of Thailand, Mahavajira Longkorn, lived and studied in Australia from 1970 to 1976. He was then the Crown Prince, of course, and he attended the King's School in Sydney and then the Royal Military College, Duntroon, in Canberra. Mm. He also trained with the Special Air Service Regiment. And, you know, the reason why the royal family decided to send the King, the now king, to Australia was because of this visit that you mentioned in the early 60s. They were quite impressed by Australia. They were, you know, had high hopes for their son, the now king, to study within the country. So, you know, there is a close historic relationship. And of course, now with the passing of the Queen Mother, Queen Sirikit, the country is in mourning, and you know, a year-long period of mourning, really, before the funeral is held in 2026.
Interesting. All right, Karishma, terrific to have your time. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Karishma VSC, ABC's Asian editor there, joining us with a look at what's been happening.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.